You're listening to True White Collar Crime. This is a show about legendary crimes and the people behind them. Please like and subscribe on YouTube and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps out the show. All right. The year was 1881. The date, October the 8th. Vincenzo Perugia emerged from the womb in Dumenza, Varese, Italy. By the time he was done growing, Vincenzo stood a towering 5'3". He moved to Paris in 1908 and found himself a job at a museum you may have heard of, the Louvre. On October 21st, 1911, Perugia ventured into his day job at the Louvre. He was dressed in a white smock, the standard uniform that many of the Louvre employees wore. There is some dispute about this. Some say he went in the night before, not at the museum style. Other sources say he strolled in for work the morning of. Except, on this day, he wasn't just an ordinary employee. On this day, he would pull off arguably the greatest art heist of the 20th century. That's the 1900s for you keeping score at home. In the Salon Carré, one of the rooms inside the Louvre, there hung a pretty famous painting. You may have heard of it. It was called the Mona Lisa. Still is. And today, it was on Vincenzo's radar. When no one was looking, Vincenzo took the painting off of the pegs that held it to the wall and brought it to an extremely discreet side staircase. He took the painting out of the frame and used his smock to hide it while he made his escape. Unfortunately for him, the door he planned to use was locked. He quickly tried to take apart the doorknob, but while he was hard at work, he was approached by a plumber who worked at the museum. But instead of catching Vincenzo red-handed, the plumber thought he was just a museum worker who was stuck, so he helped him get the door open. Tough to hit the office for that guy. The next day at the museum, no one really had any idea what had happened. It was not out of the ordinary for paintings to be taken down from the wall so the museum could take a few pictures or clean the art. Eventually, an artist who wanted to see the painting asked the staff where it was. When the guards went to check and couldn't find it, the police were called and the search was officially on. One of the museum officials made a public statement. In it, he said, "The Mona Lisa is gone. Thus far, we haven't a clue as to who might have committed this crime." People in France were not happy campers, as you can imagine. The police searched vehicles, travelers headed out of the country, and even people walking on the street. They searched them too. They also put up wanted posters of the Mona Lisa, which I think means lost or missing poster probably, with some kind of reward on it. I assume they didn't think the Mona Lisa had committed a crime and wanted to bring it in for questioning. Who knows, though? You never know. 1900s, anything goes. Police suspected poet Guillaume Apollinaire because his assistant had stolen two statues from the Louvre for him previously. So that makes you suspect number one. For some reason, Apollinaire narked on his friend Pablo Picasso, who had bought the statues from him, so that Pablo could paint some paintings of them. But both of them were later acquitted because they didn't do it and there really wasn't any evidence that it was them. Perugia, meanwhile, had to lay low and keep the painting hidden. So, of course, he kept it at his apartment in a trunk which allegedly had a secret compartment in it. When police came around to question him, he just said that he had been working somewhere else on the day of the robbery, so there was no way he could have been the thief. How's that for an alibi? After 2 years, the police still did not have a real lead. 2 years! One of the most famous paintings in the world. Perugia kept the Mona Lisa locked away in the trunk in his apartment until one day, in December 1913, it was time to return to his homeland, the great country of Italy. He contacted art dealer Alfredo Geri, or Jerry maybe, it's G-E-R-I, and told him about his plan to bring the Mona Lisa to Italy. He used the fake name Leonard. I see what he did there. Short for Leonardo, maybe. Geri brought his friend Giovanni Poggi, maybe Poggi, P-O-G-G-I, in on the meeting as well. Poggi was the director of the Uffizi Gallery at the time. When Perugia brought out the Mona Lisa, the two men could not believe what they were seeing. They told Perugia they would procure the painting for 500,000 lire, and I plugged in 500,000 lire on a sketchy online historical currency calculator, and this sketchy calculator put this estimate at about $2 million in today's money. But it turns out the two men were just playing him. They narked on him on December 11th, 1913, and Perugia was arrested. The Italians brought the Mona Lisa around Italy for a while, but gave the painting back to the Louvre in January 1914. It was now time for Perugia to face the music and go on trial. He said he had stolen the painting because he loved his country and he was upset that Napoleon had taken the piece from Italy. But that's not really what happened. Back in the day, in 1516, Da Vinci brought the painting to France and the French king later bought it from him. But that didn't stop a lot of Italians from thinking of Perugia as a national hero. It's all about the story that matters. Vincenzo was sentenced to 1 year in prison, but he got out after 7 months because he won his appeal. After getting out of prison, he served in the Italian army for a while during World War I and eventually returned to Paris, which is a very bold move, in my opinion. He died there in 1947. Perugia's theft made the Mona Lisa even more famous than it already was. After the painting was returned to the Louvre, 120,000 people came to see it over a two-day period. Today, around 8 million people come to see the Mona Lisa each year. Seems like a decent financial gain in order to pay back those 2 years that the Louvre had without their prize possession. Crazy story. Vincenzo, in and out of jail. Not too bad. 7 month prison sentence for a heist of this caliber. We had some sources for this episode. The Florentine.net had an article, which I'll put down below. Wikipedia had an article on Vincenzo. HistoryExtra.com, History.com had an article, and I will put those all below for you all to see. Please like and subscribe on YouTube under my channel, Sean McKenna. You can find me on all social media, Sean McKenna X, with an X after. And please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts as well. This has been True White Collar Crime. We'll have an episode out for you each week. Hopefully won't miss any. Really appreciate you all listening. Thank you very much. We will see you next week.